One Christmas Eve, talking about Christmas Eve, one Christmas Eve, a man named Ira Sankey, who was the music director for the famous evangelist D.L. Moody, was traveling by steamboat up the Delaware River, and he was asked to sing, and he sang the shepherd's song, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us." After the song ended, a man with a rough, weather-worn face came up to Mr. Sankey and he asked, "Did you ever serve in the Union Army?" "Yes," Sankey said. I began in the spring of 1860. Can you remember if you were ever doing picket duty on a moonlit night at such and such a fort in 1862? "Yes," said Sankey, somewhat surprised. "Well, I was serving in the Confederate Army. And I saw you standing there at your post, and I said to myself, that fellow will never get away from here alive. I raised my rifle and took aim. And I was standing in the shadows, completely hidden, while you were in the full light of that moon. And at that instant, just like you did a moment ago, you raised your head and you started singing that song, 'Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.' And I like music. And I decided that before I shot you, I'd let you finish the song." And you sang that song in one of the verses, "We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way." And those words stirred up in me memories of my mother singing that song to me when I was a little boy. And when you finished that song, it was impossible for me to take aim and shoot you. And I thought to myself, the Lord who's able to save that man must surely be great and mighty. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. This morning we're going to turn our thoughts to that shepherd who'd saved Sankey that night. That shepherd who is the Good Shepherd. I'd like you to take your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 10, if you would. John chapter 10. And this morning I would like to turn your attention to verses 11 through 18. 11 through 18. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. He says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand or a hireling is not a shepherd. Who is not the owner of the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them, scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and he is not concerned about the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold, I must bring them also. And they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I laid down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I've received from my Father. Would you bow your heads with me? Oh God, oh Lord, hear our prayer from this place this morning. Because we want to behold you today. We want to see you today in this place. Lord, with the eye of faith, we would see you. We would see Jesus. Lord, take all the distractions of the world away. Take all the confusion around us away. Take our own even flesh and squash it, Lord, and help us through faith this morning to behold our God, to behold the shepherd, mighty and majestic. We would see Jesus today, Lord. Holy Spirit, have free reign in our hearts, in our minds, our souls. Speak to us today, would you, Lord? Encourage those that are discouraged. Exhort those who have wandered off. Save those who need to be saved. We would ask you to do this today, Lord. We can't do these things, but you can. So please work here today. Help us to have ears that will hear what you have to say to the church today. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 In the Gospel of John, we have the I am statements of the Lord. You remember back in chapter 8, verse 58, that Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham lived 2,000 years before Jesus was born. But before he was, I am. And he said this in clear reference back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And in that statement, there was Moses at the burning bush, and God gave him his commission to go back to Egypt. And he said, Lord, if I go back, what if they ask me what your name is? And God said to Moses, you just tell them, Moses, I am that I am. You go back and tell them, I am sent you. And when Jesus said that to these religious leaders, before Abraham was, I am, clear statement of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are seven statements in the Gospel of John. We call them the I am statements. They're only found in John's Gospel. And every one of them declares the deity of Christ, but they also declare how Jesus relates to us, to humanity. We saw back in chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In chapter 8, we saw Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The light of the world. If you follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness. Last week, we took a look at verses 1 through 10, and we saw that Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Got to enter in through me. If you're going to be saved, you got to enter through the door. Thieves and robbers, what do? They try to climb up over the wall. But if you want to be saved, all who enter by me, Jesus says, will be saved. This morning, we come to the fourth I am statement of our Lord. And it is a beautiful statement. It's a wonderful statement. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And this morning, we want to look at what that means. But before we do this, I want to remind us about the nature and the ways of sheep. You remember I talked to you about sheep last week? You remember I shared with you the story about my wife and how she raised a sheep up at Penn State University? Some of you said, yeah, right. Well, my wife went home. She got her album out. I want to show you some pictures. That's Candida, the one in the middle. My wife is in the back, and that's her girlfriend. And they raised this sheep up at Penn State University. And that's little old Candida right there. Can I have the next picture? And I told you, they won the blue ribbon. They won the blue ribbon. They entered her in that farm show up at Penn State. And there's the blue ribbon. And Candida's the one in the middle. Linda to the left and her friend Jan to the right. But there they are. That sheep was dumb. Sheep are like that. I mean, and I told you, I would go to the sheep pen. I went to the sheep pen with Linda, and I'd go, come here, Candida. She wouldn't even listen to me. She didn't hear my voice, because you know why? I was a stranger. They don't hear the voice of strangers. In fact, I walked over toward this dumb sheep, and I'd say, come here, Candida. You know what she'd do? She ran away. Prone to wander. No, she'd just go away. So I was telling you the truth last week about this sheep, right? Sheep, and you can take it off now. Sheep are dumb animals. They are prone to wander. They get lost easily. They're not the brightest bulbs on the tree. That's how sheep are. And you remember I told you, they walk in a straight line. I had a picture of that. I didn't bring it. They walk in a straight line. They don't know how to make a what? A U-turn. They don't know how to do that. Because they're dumb. They're dumb. Not only are they dumb, they are defenseless. They have no claws to claw with. They have no fangs to bite with. They can't run fast to get away. They have no growl to scare predators away. They don't rah! They don't do it. Did that wake anybody up? They don't do that. They're just bah, bah. That doesn't scare any animal away. Bah, bah. They're defenseless. In fact, I heard... And I heard that a professor once said, sheep are a sure proof that evolution is wrong. Because evolution teaches the survival of the fittest. And if that were true, we wouldn't have any sheep. Come on. I hear, amen. We wouldn't have any sheep. And guess what? Do you know the greatest need? Well, by the way, you know what sheep do at night when they can't sleep? They count each other. They're dumb. Don't go that. Don't. Oh. I thought that was good. But you know the greatest need of a sheep? Is a shepherd. The greatest need of a sheep is for a shepherd. Now, guess what the Bible calls us? Yeah, that's not real complimentary. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, we are his people, the what? The sheep of his pasture. Do you know what our greatest need is for? You're right. It's for a shepherd. And praise God, we have a good shepherd. A kalos shepherd. That's Greek. It means perfect. Good, perfectly moral shepherd. And that's the context of our scripture today. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So we want to take a look. Why is Jesus so good? What makes him and his ministry as shepherd so good? Five things I want to share with you today. The first is this. The good shepherd loves and sacrifices for his sheep. Loves and sacrifices for his sheep. In fact, it's repeated four times. Verse 11, verse 15, verse 17, verse 18. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Lays down his life for the sheep. You see, when a wolf comes, or thieves come, a good shepherd will stand in harm's way. Fight for the sheep. He's willing to lose his life so that the sheep may gain their life or their lives might be spared. When Jesus said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, do you know what he was talking about? That's what he was talking about. He's talking about the cross, about his death on the cross. And those eight words, I laid down my life for the sheep. Oh, fraught with meaning. What does it mean? Let me tell you. First of all, Jesus' death was voluntary. It was voluntary. I laid down. Jesus voluntarily died on the cross. In fact, he said over in Matthew chapter 26, 53, I think it was in the garden, and they were going to fight, and he said, and what do you say? You don't have to do that. I could call 12 legions of angels. That's 72,000 angels down here and wipe the whole Roman army out. Wipe all my enemies out. But he could have just, and they'd have been gone. Jesus gave his life. His death on the cross was voluntary, willingly gave his life. Look at verses 17 and 18 again. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, and I lay it down on my own initiative, or I lay it down willingly. His death was not an accident. His death was not a somehow tragic mistake. His death was not a martyr's death killed by some men. He laid it down willingly. He died on the cross willingly for you and for me. His death was voluntary. He went there. In fact, that's the reason he came, to die on the cross for us guys. Secondly, his death was sacrificial. He says, I lay down my life You know, this is the highest form of selfless love, isn't it? In John 15, 13, it says, no greater love hath man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. No greater love. That's what Jesus did. He sacrificed his life. And it's interesting. In fact, Jesus is not only the good shepherd. You know what else he is? He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's not only the shepherd. Wait a second. We're sheep. And you know what Jesus became? He became a lamb. He became one of us. He became one of us. And he was the perfect Lamb of God. Perfect. The wages of sin is what? Death. But Jesus had no sin. Do you realize that Jesus could have lived forever? He could be alive today. Oh, well, he is alive today. But he could be alive in his human body today. But he laid it down. Sacrificially. He's not only the shepherd, he's the lamb. He's not only the high priest, he's the offering. The perfect Lamb of God dying for our sins, the sacrificial lamb. His death was voluntary, it was sacrificial. His death was substitutionary. I laid down my life for the sheep. That little word for, again, oh my, huper. In the Greek, it means instead of, or for the sake of. And I could preach, let me tell you, I could preach a whole sermon on that word. It also means to cover or over. But he went there in our place. We deserved the cross. And Jesus said, no, I'll take your place. I'll take your place. Jesus on the cross took my place. He took your place. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died for our sins once for all that, listen, the just for who pair the unjust. That's substitution. Whew. And his death was gracious. His death was gracious. I laid down my life for who? The sheep? For stupid, dumb, wayward sheep? Oh yeah. He did it for us. Romans 5, 6 says, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For the mess ups. For the screw ups. For sinners. For hardly one will die for a righteous man. But for a good man, someone might dare even to die. But God demonstrates or commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is grace. That's grace. We don't deserve it. But he went to the cross for us. And you know what? His death also was sufficient. It was sufficient. His death, listen, paid for all of our sins. Again, down in verse 17, 18. Let me read this again. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. By the way, the Father loves him for that. We should love him for that. No one has taken away my life away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. How do we know that what Jesus did on the cross is sufficient payment for our sins? How do we know? Do you know how we know? We know because his voluntary death was followed by his victorious resurrection. That's how we know. God accepted Christ's death on the cross for my sin, raising him up from the dead. Someone has said the resurrection is God's amen to the finished work of Christ. And Jesus said, "It is finished." Paid in full. No copay. Wow. What a shepherd. I'll tell you what, listen. If you ever doubt that Jesus loves you, look at the cross. I want you to know he loves you today. He loves you. Receive his love. Never forget the night I was saved. The man of God preached the word, and he preached about how Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. And at the end of the service, a man came across the aisle and took me by the arm and said, "Son, would you like to pray?" And God had touched my heart. And I said, "Yes." And he brought me forward. We knelt down. And he said, "Do you know you're a sinner?" I said, "Well, yeah, that's one thing you don't have to convince me of, sir. I know I'm a sinner. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead?" I said, "Well, that's what that man just told me." He said, "Do you believe?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Would you like to have him as your Savior?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Why don't you pray?" And here's what I prayed. "Lord, if you did that for me, if you died on the cross for my sins, for me, I want to know you." Praise the Lord. I didn't know you if you had to pray in King James English or any of that stuff. That was my prayer. My life has never been the same from that time on. What a shepherd! He loves us and he sacrifices for his sheep. That's a good shepherd. Amen? Amen? Number two, the Lord is a good shepherd. The good shepherd owns and cares for his sheep. Verses 12 and 13. It says, "He who is a hired hand or a hireling is not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep. He sees a wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he's not concerned about the sheep." You see, here, first of all, we have the contrast between a shepherd and a hireling, or a shepherd and a hired hand. The shepherd, listen, owns the sheep. Owns the sheep. They are his. A hireling or a hired hand does not own the sheep. He is just hired to tend the sheep. It's a job for him. Our good shepherd owns the sheep. You know, folks, he owns us in two ways. First of all, he made us. He made us. You remember back in Psalm 100? It says, we are the Lord's. He made us and not we ourselves. He made us. But we're his a second way because he bought us. He bought us. In fact, the shepherd song that Sankey sang, it said, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us. Thine we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Acts chapter 20, it says, we are the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. We are blood-bought sheep. We belong to the shepherd. Listen, listen. He has a vested interest in us, in the sheep. That's the difference. He owns, the hireling doesn't own. It's just a job. But then there's a contrast in response between the shepherd and the hireling. When a hired man sees a wolf coming, with the first sign of danger, what's he do? He's out of there, man. He flees. Why? What's that? Yeah! He thinks more of who? Himself than the sheep. It's about him. It's not about sheep. That's the hireling. The shepherd, listen, who owns the sheep and loves the sheep and has a vested interest in the sheep, he cares for them because they're his. And he puts himself in the line of danger. He'll fight the predators because he owns and cares for the sheep. He's always there for the sheep. Now, parents, you know a little bit about something like this. By the way, we've been having a lot of babies in our church. It's in the water, so be careful. We've been having a lot of babies, and you know, parents, you know babies, and when in the middle of the night, when your little baby starts vomiting all over the place, mom gets out of bed, goes in, and you don't say something like this, you know, excuse me, vomiting hours are between 9 and 5. I punched out at 5 o'clock. I'll see you in the morning. I'm going back to bed where your hireling dad is fast asleep. Who said that, Bill? You don't say that. I mean, parenting, right, is a what? 24/7 job. You know, why do you, don't do that. Why don't you do that? Because you love that little thing. You care about them. Why? Because they're yours. They belong to you. And they are helpless. They're totally dependent on you. You don't say, oh, I punched out it. You don't do that. It's a 24/7 job. So is shepherding. Shepherding is a 24/7 job. The shepherd's always on duty. And we have a good shepherd who loves us. He cares about us. He's concerned. Hireling isn't, but our great shepherd is. And let me just say, there's no concern that you have that's too little for him to be concerned about. And there's no concern that you have that's too big for him to meet. He's the good shepherd. That's why it says, cast all of your cares on him because he what? Cares for you. That's our shepherd. He owns us. And he cares for us. And he's always on duty. And he won't leave us nor forsake us. He's the good shepherd. Well, the good shepherd loves and sacrifices for a sheep. The good shepherd owns and cares for a sheep. Number three, the good shepherd goes before and leads his sheep. Now I'm going to jump back up to verses 3 and 4 in our chapter. And there it says in verses 3 and 4, to him the shepherd, the doorkeeper, opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. You see, the good shepherd goes before the sheep, leads the sheep. Reminds me and reminds us, I think, of Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He what? He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us. Aren't you glad we have a shepherd that leads us? We have a good shepherd who leads the sheep. He's out in front and he leads the sheep. Wow. How does he lead us? Let me just share with you several ways. First of all, Jesus leads us by example. By example. Jesus' life is an example to us on how we should live. Now listen, I want to make this clear. He came to earth to die on the cross. That's his mission. He didn't come just to be an example. But he is an example. That's why 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 says, one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. See, you want to know how we're to act as Christians? Read the Gospels. Look at Jesus' life. We're to walk like he walked. There are two, but you know what? There are only two places in the Bible that say that Jesus was an example. You know where they are? First of all, in John chapter 13. He's an example of service. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 2, he's an example of suffering unjustly. First of all, he was an example of service. You know what he did on the night before he went to the cross? God washed feet. God washed feet. You know what? We want to know what leadership is? Leadership is not bossing people around. Leadership is washing feet. It's serving. He said, I did this. You know what? Know why I did this? I did this leaving you an example that you should wash one another's feet. That you should humble. That was the job of a slave. By the way, husbands, you want to lead your family? Amen. You serve your wife. You serve your children. You give them an example. You lead by example. That's leadership. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 2, it's the example of suffering unjustly. It says there, you know, if you sin and you suffer for it and you patiently endure it, what's that? That's nothing. But if you do what is right and suffer for it and patiently endure it, listen to this. This finds favor with God. This finds favor with God. And it says, just like Jesus suffered, listen, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. You see, when we suffer, it's an opportunity. As we patiently endure it, it's an opportunity to follow in the steps of the Savior. Jesus leads. How does he lead? He leads by example. He leads by example. Second, he leads by his word. I'll quickly go through these. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Again, do you want to hear God speak? Read his word. You want to hear him speak out loud? Read his word out loud. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how he leads us. He leads us in his word. He leads us by his spirit, Romans 8:14. All those who are being led by the spirit, these are the sons of God. And I'll tell you what, he leads that still small voice inside of us. I believe he leads by the spirit. I do. And then he leads by godly, spirit-filled people. 1 Peter 5. Elders are told to lead the flock, not by compulsion, but by example. Again, and Jesus, listen, he's never behind the sheep. He's never driving the sheep. He's out in front of the sheep. I want to give you a little illustration of that. This comes from a book called Shepherd Leadership by Timothy Whitmer. He tells the story of a group of people that were on a tour of Israel. And they were on a guided tour. They had an Israeli tour guide, and they were on a bus, and they were driving, and they saw a shepherd with his sheep. And the Israeli tour guide said, listen, the shepherd is always, he always leads from the front. He always leads. He's out in front of the sheep. He never drives the sheep from behind. So they're going along and they drive along. They looked out and here's a group of sheep and the shepherd's behind them. Well, they were quick to point this out to the tour guide. We thought you said the shepherd was never behind the sheep, driving the sheep. So they stopped the bus. And the tour guide got off the bus and went over and talked to the man. He got back on the bus with a sheepish grin. And he said, that's not the shepherd. That's the butcher. We have a shepherd that is always out in front. And he leads us. What a good shepherd. Number four, the good shepherd gathers and unites his sheep. Again, verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Again, the good shepherd has an interest in gathering, listen, other sheep. Other sheep. Who are they? Who are the other sheep? These are sheep which were never a part of the fold of Judaism. I think it's clear here that this is a reference to the Gentiles whom the shepherd would be gathering from every part of the world. Wherever the gospel goes out, he is gathering other sheep. Aren't you glad? I'm glad he just didn't gather the sheep of Israel. He gathers the Gentiles. That'd be us. Right? And I'll tell you, wherever the gospel goes out and wherever the gospel's preached, he's still gathering sheep. And we have like a part in that, right? Because we send out missionaries, we go out, we share the gospel, and as we share the gospel, the good shepherd's getting more sheep to come in into the fold. He's still gathering sheep. And the good shepherd would unite them, and he would into one flock with one shepherd. And again, following Christ's death and establishment of the New Testament church on the day of Pentecost, all who receive Christ, whether Jew or Gentile, come into, listen to this, one church. And I'm not talking about Baptist. I'm not talking about Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, Episcopalian. It's one church. That is all the sheep that have truly been saved. We are a part of one church. And guess what? We got one shepherd. Jesus. And the good shepherd's still gathering. Oh, I'm so glad for that. I don't know how long more he's going to be gathering before he comes back. But he's gathering. And he's concerned about unity in the church. One church, one flock, one shepherd. He's concerned with unity. Lastly, the good shepherd knows and is known by his sheep. And I love this, verse 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. First of all, the good shepherd knows his sheep. Just note this. That word know, it means more than just intellectual knowledge. It's more than just intellectual awareness. It speaks, listen, of an intimate relationship between God and his people. Intimate. How intimate, Pastor? Did you see what he said there? Even as the Father knows me, and I know my Father. Do you know there's intimacy in the Trinity? They have intimacy between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Perfect intimacy. And that's what he wants. He knows us. Listen, tell me, let me say this. God knows you better than you know you. So what does he know about us? Well, three things. Let me give you three. He knows our name. He knows our nature. And he knows our needs. Do you realize God knows your name? You know what? He knows my name. He knows my name is Les. No, he doesn't. And a lot of you are new. So maybe you don't know this. My name is not Les. It's not. It's Lester. No, it's not Lester. Leslie. No, it's not Leslie. That's not my name. In fact, a child of God. That's my name. No. He knows that my name, Les, comes from my initials. L-E-S. That's my initials. And he knows my name. You say, what's your name? None of your business. Someone came up to me after I said that once, and they came up to me and they said, oh, we know what your initials stand for, Pastor Les. I said, what? They said, L-E-S, long extended sermons. No, that's not my name. But God knows my name. And he knows your name. Some of you fooled us because we thought we knew your name. We couldn't get in down the hospital, Tim and Louise. We found out your real name, James. But God knows all of our names. And you know what else he knows? He knows our nature. He knows we're sheep. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. He knows all my foibles and all my everything about me. But you know the good thing? And he knows everything about you? He still loves us. He still loves us. And he knows our needs. Again, he knows your need better than you know your need. I think I know my need. And so I pray, and a lot of times, guess what? God doesn't answer my prayer. Because if he'd answer my prayer, I'd probably be less dependent on him if he answered it the way I want him to answer it. He doesn't answer maybe my specific prayer, but he answers my need. Isn't that wonderful? That's the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. And the good shepherd, listen to this. This is great. And the good shepherd is known by his sheep. Verse 14, I know my sheep and my own know me. Listen, God's not a distant God. He's not the God of the deist. He got everything started and then he took a vacation. No! He's an intimate God, personable. He's noble. He's knowable. You can't know him exhaustively. He's infinite. But you can know him truly. He's knowable. You see, Gandhi was wrong. Gandhi said, God is an indefinable something that we all feel, but we cannot know. Wrong! We can know him. We can know him. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. That's personal relationship. That's intimacy with God. We can know. It's the greatest gift this side of heaven. In fact, you know what it is? It's eternal life. John 17:3. This is eternal life, that you may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. To know God. Everything else vanishes away in insignificance. To knowing him. Do you know him? Do you know him? That's eternal life. That's eternal life. The moment a person calls on God, calls on the Lord, confesses their sins. By the way, I want to do just an illustration. The scripture says in Isaiah 53:6, all we, like sheep, have what? Gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know what you need to do to get saved? Listen, and this is not a joke. You do need to make a U-turn. You need to stop going your way and go God's way. And put your faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and rose from the dead, and call on him, save me, Jesus. And when you do that, you have the gift of eternal life. Intimacy with God that starts the moment you believe and goes on throughout all eternity. Do you know him? Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, wow. Tell you, even as I think of this, we think of this right now. What a shepherd. What a shepherd. What a perfect shepherd. And just to think you love each and every one of us, Lord. And we just confess before you, we are totally, completely, wholly dependent on you. We can do nothing apart from you, Lord. We are dumb, defenseless sheep. But man, I'm glad we have such a good shepherd. Lord, if there's anyone here today that has never truly been saved, would you help them now, Lord, to just say, Lord, I want you as my Savior. I want to know you. And I didn't know what to pray that night I got saved, Lord. I just said, if you did that for me, I want to know you, and you changed my life. And you still can do that today, Lord. You still are doing that today. So would you speak to that person? And perhaps even have them come forward today and just say, I want Jesus as my Savior. There's other people here today. We're all needy creatures. There's people that maybe need a healing touch. They need prayer. They need guidance, direction. We're looking to you, Shepherd. Please continue to work. Thank you that you're here right now. And as we sing this wonderful song, we're thankful that you're a shepherd. We're thankful we have what a friend we have in you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We honor you. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen.